Welcome back to the Harborcast, a semi-annual, bi-weekly, random time that we gather together here in the offices at Fellowship Students. Well, this is a podcast for everyone, not just Fellowship students. It's for parents, everyone, students, kids, friends, families, youth ministers, doctors, teachers, lawyers, maybe, depending. And yeah, all that above. How's it going, Danny?
Pretty good, man. Trying to stay warm.
Yeah, it's cold. It's been cold. Hey, so we are back. This is a Christmas edition number two. You may have heard the fun music. We got some little music playing in the background here. Some jingle bells. But, man, I'm excited for Christmas, Danny. Are you excited?
I am very excited. We always want the white Christmas, but we never get it, so.
Yeah. We get the ice Christmas.
Yeah, we get the ice. We won't get any of that this year.
Yeah, hopefully. I got a cabin in Broken Bow. I'm looking forward to you. So,
nice.
Yeah, man. All right, hey, so we are excited to be back, and we got some fun little things to talk to you guys about today. You know, we actually had set to record this about 2 weeks ago, and then Blake bought a house. Things has happened. Actually, it's been like 90 days, 100 days in the process. And so we actually moved, so it kind of threw everything out of our original plans. But I do want to talk about some fun things. All right, so that's how we're going to start off this podcast, is we're just going to talk about some of the fun things on the internet. You know, the internet pretty much is garbage. Hot take 101. This is going to be on the internet. And not everything you hear on there is real, right, Danny?
Right, correct.
I think there was a whole presidential election, or they ran on the premise of fake news.
Right.
But you hear a lot of fun, silly things on the internet, and you have to, you just think, man, is this real or is this fake? Well, there's this fun story that came out about 2 weeks ago about aliens, and I'm not talking about illegal aliens, all right, like people crossing borders illegally or entering countries illegally, but like extraterrestrials. Danny, did you hear about this story?
I did not until you mentioned it to me, so
whoa,
no.
Man, it blew up like on Twitter and on Instagram. On, at least, maybe the things I follow are weird. I don't know, but it blew up all over that. And so, in the Jerusalem Post, which is a reputable source, I guess, because it was actually covered on CNN and your other mainstream sites, Fox News, if you, whatever your choice is. I don't think it was on OWN. I'm not going to go there. Okay, so anyways, the Israeli space security chief said that they had been contacted by aliens by the Galactic Federation, that both the U.S. and Israel had been contacted about joining the Galactic Federation. But the U.S. in Israel and maybe some other nations not to be named, in the Galactic Federation of Aliens, said they didn't think humanity was ready to be a part of it. Hmm. Yeah. And the coincidence is that this all came around when Trump had established the Space Force, the United States Space Force, a subdivision of the United States Air Force. So I posted a link for Danny to read to just take a quick look at. What are your thoughts on this? And the guy said he waited to share this because he's got a PhD. He's a well-respected individual in his industry. It's just, I don't know. What are your thoughts?
I'm looking at it again now. I don't really, first of all, we contacted aliens. Like, this is like some type of, like, Men in Black.
So they contacted
deal.
Us.
Yeah, is this kind of like a Men in Black deal? Is this a, we trading or sending someone away or anything like that?
Yeah.
Like, what's going on?
I can only wish. I'm just kidding.
It's very unclear. I don't get it.
So the 87-year-old former head of the Defense Ministry's Space Division gave further descriptions about exactly what sort of agreements have been made between the aliens and the U.S., which had been made because they wished to research and understand the fabric of the universe. So, I mean, from what I understand, it's not like Independence Day or anything like that. It actually seems to be like they want to work together. But Eshed, the scientist who was the former head of this, insists that Trump is aware of them and that he was on the verge of disclosing their existence. Man, he may have won the election if he did that.
Maybe.
Listen up. It's going to be huge. We got something huge coming. Aliens. It's just magnificent. What it's going to be like. I don't know. But they felt like they said that humanity needed to evolve and reach a stage where we will understand what space and spaceships are. Well, there's some other things we need to understand, like kindness and right. Those type of things. Before that. But he said, if I had come up with this, what I'm saying today 5 years ago, I would have been hospitalized. I mean, you know, but he's got a point. Like, if you've experienced something, right, like real, and you're saying, man, if I would have told you this years ago, you would have thought I was a nut job. You would have put me in the hospital. Like, he's not really wrong in saying that. You think?
No.
I mean,
not in my opinion.
He added that today they're already talking differently. I have nothing to lose. I've received my degrees and awards. I'm respected at universities abroad where the trend is changing. Maybe not for the good.
Yeah, definitely not for the good.
But I thought it was interesting. He wrote a book called The Universe Beyond the Horizon. Conversations with Professor Chaim Eshed, along with other details such as how aliens have prevented nuclear apocalypses. And when we can jump in and visit the Men in Black. I'm going to have to get this.
Oh, wow.
This to be interesting. But, yeah, that was just a pretty interesting tidbit, you know. That guy on the History Channel with the crazy hair, I bet he's jumping all over this.
Yeah.
That guy.
All over it.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I do question websites that have lots of pop-ups on there.
That's what I was. So, it was so many ads. I was like, is this a lot of really ads. Incredible?
I mean, I guess they got to make money, but
yeah.
Did they just get? No, I just clicked it. Oh man, I shouldn't have clicked that. All right. Cool. Speaking of aliens, did you know, Danny? That the first manned mission to the moon was launched on this date in 1968?
Never would have thought.
Man, crazy coincidence. Man, someone should have looked that up.
Right.
Who would have done that? Yeah, so talking about aliens, we launched the moon. Apollo 8 was the first manned mission to the moon in 1968. Also, a couple of random facts because this thing's dying quickly here. Did you know the world was predicted to end on this date in 2012?
Didn't know that.
They're about 8 years too late.
Yeah. They had predicted it in 2006, too.
That did it was they?
Be. Yeah. Like 2006. I think it's like every 6 years. Something Man. Like that. Something crazy.
I'm just going to throw something out there. 2021 will be the same as 2020.
Whoa. No.
I mean, I didn't say worse.
Well I mean, we're trending towards worse.
Yeah. We'll see. Maybe. So I mean, nice. We survived the dark ages and they didn't have internet. So
well, yeah, that's true.
I mean, that may have been better actually.
Yeah, probably a whole lot better.
Thinking about surviving the dark ages without the internet, man. Could you imagine? Wow.
I couldn't live without internet. So.
Well, there was a time, my friend. I'm old enough to remember.
I remember dial-up.
Yeah, I remember no internet, no cable TV. Yeah, oh man, layaway, all that type of stuff.
I definitely remember layaway.
Did you know on this date also, Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs came out in 1937?
Definitely didn't know
that. It was the first full-length animated feature film.
And that's in 1937.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's one of those movies on Disney Plus that has a disclosure on it.
Yeah, probably does. Got to.
Yeah. Also, this is going to lead into our next topic. The game of basketball was invented on this date and played in Springfield College in Massachusetts by James E. Naismith. And so,
thank
basketball
you,
started.
Thank you, James.
Yeah, thanks, James. There's a lot of good basketball people named with the name James.
Yes.
First or last. James Worthy. LeBron James.
Yes.
James Johnson. He wasn't great, but... it was James. James Worthy was really good. All right. And so, because basketball started on this date, which... You think about it, the NBA should be the start of basketball. They should make it a day when basketball started is the day NBA should start.
Yep.
Maybe a little later, start on the day that it began. I just think that's cool. I mean, that'd be cool.
Make a lot of sense.
It could be a Monday or a Sunday or a Tuesday. It just depends on the year, but just start on this date. All right. The NBA starts tomorrow.
Yes.
And if you did not know, oh, Danny Kirk Jr. over there is a big-time L.A. Lakers fan.
Avid Lakers fans.
It's pretty horrendous.
Love him to death.
One could ask if he's actually a basketball fan. But I'm an Oklahoma City Thunder fan.
Sorry to hear that. But
it's all right.
Congratulations on all the 172 picks you got for the next 70 years.
That's right. Because LeBron James is going to be coming to OKC playing with Bronny James in about 3 or 4 years.
I can see it happening.
I mean, they get that first pick, man. Just think about all of the marketing money, man.
Yep.
Bron and Bronny. He wants to play with this kid. Well, it's not going to happen in L.A.
Definitely not.
Either one of those teams because they have no picks. So my question is, who are your winners and losers for the 2021 NBA season? Who's your champ?
Of course, I have no one beating the Lakers in a repeat. I'm just being honest. No one made a big enough splash in the offseason this year to even pose a threat to the Lakers. Actually, we got better. We got Schroeder. We got Trez. Wesley Matthews, Marcus Gasol. So we're going to be better defensively. We're going to be able to stretch the floor. So I got the Lakers winning back-to-back this year. And drum roll. I have Luka as my MVP this year.
Yeah, Luka as MVP.
I got Luka as MVP, and I got Anthony Davis as Defensive Player of the Year.
Oh, wow.
They robbed him really last year. He led, almost in blocks and rebounds. But I can see why Rudy Gobert is that man.
Rudy's garbage.
But he just signed a, $200
million
extension yesterday. $205
million. That's the biggest waste of money.
Yes, on a big man. So... I mean, hey.
I'm not a – he shut the NBA down.
Well.
I'm not the fan of him.
But I do have out of the East, I believe it's going to be a tight race. I believe it's going to be pretty good. I believe that Brooklyn will make a splash.
Oh.
I do believe that Boston will be in the top three, I believe. And I believe a dark horse will be the 76ers with Doc Rivers coming aboard. And working with Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons, I think they got some solid, solid foundational things that they can work with there. Milwaukee will still be good, but Miami, of course, will still be, I believe, the team to beat in the East.
So you're picking Miami.
I'm going to have to pick either Miami because, I mean, they really didn't lose anything.
Yeah, they didn't add anything.
And they didn't add anything. So, I mean, the
– Yet.
What? True.
Yeah, there's still trades.
But I believe
they'll
be fine. So that's who I have. And I think, I guess, most improved this year from losing would probably be the Hornets, maybe, because of the new ball that's there. But I don't know. I'm really ready to see what the New York Knicks do as well. I believe they're going to win more games this year, too, but not a lot.
Nah.
But they're going to win more games than they won last year.
Well,
my opinion.
I hope they do. I hope they win more games.
Yeah.
Because this is better for my team. You only picked one team out of the West, though.
Well, as far as what? I mean, who's going to beat the Lakers? No one's going to beat them. I mean, the Clippers were set to beat them last year.
The Nuggets are pretty good.
I mean, that didn't happen. I mean,
yeah, because they played 14 games in
okay.
a row.
Well, like, let's say
they were healthy.
If it wasn't the Lakers, if I don't go with the Lakers in the West, I guess I'll go with Denver. Denver is always going to be someone to look out for. If, in my opinion, if the Blazers would have added one more piece, they would have been something to deal with.
I mean, they
now they're reloading. They had about two or three people hurt last year in the bubble, so they're going to be good this year. You know, you got Melo still there coming off the bench. You know, I still have Trez Phoenix as my sixth man of the year this year. But yeah. So I mean, the West is kind of like everyone's going out east now because LeBron came west.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's kind of weird.
Yeah, I don't want to pick the Lakers.
Gonna have to, man.
I'm sorry.
Sorry, unless Dallas just makes a big jump and grabs someone.
Nah, yeah, they're gonna have the. They have to play defense.
Yeah.
Lakers adding the first and second place sixth man of the year helps tremendously.
Yep.
That's like a major upgrade from last year.
Yes,
now,
sir.
Don't get me wrong. They had the best draw in the bubble because they played a Portland team that was racing
tired.
To get in.
Yep.
That helped. And then they got a Houston team that should have lost in seven.
Right.
So they beat them off on a 4-1 series. Then they played the next team who played in seven. Like they got a luck. They had the easiest draw in the playoffs.
Yeah, I can agree.
So I think it's going to be a little harder for them this year. But their team is better. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want to. I think the Lakers are the favorite to win, but would not be shocked if, like, something crazy happened in Golden State, caught fire, and was to upset them, like, in the playoffs. Because they have – I'm just saying, I think –
if Klay was there, that would be the biggest threat to the Lakers this year.
But they have a legit big man now, and
true.
They still have Wiggins, and they have him they'll have them with Curry for
right.
a full year.
Right.
And we cannot underestimate what – I mean, Wiggins is a good player. Now, he should be a lot better for what he was supposed to be, but he's good. He's good. Like, in that system, he should thrive.
Yeah.
And so getting to see him with Curry, and then Draymond having to be the big man.
Mm-hmm.
This just irritates me that they got that pick. It really irritates me tremendously because I hate the Warriors.
Yeah, I can't stand the Warriors.
But I the Clippers should, on paper, be number two in the West.
Even though they gave up all that Shamit, they gave up Shamit, they gave up Trez.
Well, yeah.
That's going to hurt because Trez was the heart of that second unit, and Trez was a closer. They don't have a closer anymore because
you
never know what Paul George is going to do.
I think maybe it hurts, but with Kawhi and the things you kind of hear about, maybe it doesn't hurt. Because I think Trez thought he was an alpha.
And
I think Kawhi just didn't give a rip. I think that may have bothered it.
Tyron, I believe, is going to work the same type of system that he worked with LeBron when he was in Cleveland. So, I mean, it could be something there. Tyron's not really a bad coach, in my opinion. I believe that
he's got a ring.
Yeah, I believe that he walks in two rings. I mean, Blatt really set that team up, and he just was able to come in and just capitalize off of it.
Yeah.
So
I mean, that's kind of like my thought on the West. I the loser is going to be Oklahoma City, but I kind of want that to happen because, I mean, we did what we did so we could lose.
Yeah.
But it's just Oklahoma City, like, you know, there's franchises that lose, and then there's franchises that can't lose.
Mm-hmm.
And since they became the Thunder, like literally that first season was terrible, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we got Harden out of that. Since then, they have not lost. Like even when they tried, like last year, like Like, they just, I don't know, there's just something about it. Like, there's certain organizations that are losers. The Knicks.
Right.
Like, Charlotte.
Charlotte, yeah.
Ooh. Oh, those are just...
Sacramento.
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 The Phoenix Suns.
Phoenix Suns, yeah. Well, Phoenix was good back, you know, Steve Nash and Mario Stoudemire.
Yeah, 10 years ago.
Yeah, conference, you know, finals and stuff.
But before that, there was still a big gap since Barkley.
Right.
You know, Orlando has not been a winner since Dwight took him to the finals that one year.
2009. Lakers championship, baby.
Yeah, and... Who else? I mean, Atlanta. They're just not winners.
They're not. Yeah.
Even
Atlanta's
though they may be the win, they may be this year, but historically, like they know how to lose.
That is true.
Memphis knew how to lose. They've been good, but like when they're there's a reason why they moved from Vancouver, a great city. I mean, to Memphis. Memphis is not Oklahoma City.
Nope.
I've been to Memphis, but. Yeah, so I think we'll see. We'll see how that goes. And obviously, like, if the Clippers blow up and the Rockets blow up, that's all great news because we have their picks.
That's true.
So, and we have some picks from the Pacers as well. And so
they definitely know how to lose.
Yeah, they know. But they've been good. They can be really good this year, I think.
Could be.
They were supposed to be better last year, but injuries. That could be a team that's on the up. Like, they were pretty close to beating the Heat.
Yeah.
On the East, if Kyrie keeps burning sage, because that's what's going to take to keep him and Kevin Durant from...
Yeah.
They're probably smoking pot together.
This is
a youth podcast, but I'm just letting you know. I'm sorry. NBA's not testing for that this year. No. So, he's a weird duck.
Yeah.
Like, that dude needs Jesus.
He needs to just play basketball. He's trying to do too much.
Jesus. I don't even know. But the Nets, if they don't blow up on each other, could win the East.
I just don't
because
think
they,
that
didn't,
they have
they
enough.
Didn't Dude, they didn't lose anything.
And I mean, they got Spencer Dinwiddie.
They made it to the second round.
Low.
They took it to the second round the playoffs without Kevin Durant. And you're adding a MVP who looks good. He actually looks good off an Achilles.
Yeah.
And then Kyrie, who's fresh.
Very fresh. Yeah, you're right.
That team has a crap ton of shooting. Like, the shooters all over. So, but I still like the Heat. But it's going to be harder for them. Dark horse out of the East is Atlanta because they added a lot of shooting. They added a lot of players.
Yeah, Rajon, they got a floor general now.
Yeah, we're around Trey and they got Gallo and what's his name from the Sacramento that was supposed to go to the Bucks.
Bowman.
Yeah. I still think the Bucks still be the one to beat in the East.
Yeah.
Cuz Giannis is I think he's the best player in the NBA. I mean, he's over LeBron where LeBron's at, but LeBron manages a team really well. And so.
Yeah, I'm about to say. LeBron, in my opinion, is the greatest player right now playing because he hits off every, you know, checks off every box.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's going to get his teammates involved. If he needs to take over, he still can, but he also knows, hey, I got AD, which is what's scary. For the next 3 to 5 years in L.A. Because it's like, hey, LeBron doesn't have to go out here and drop 20 a night. You got AD that can go off of 40 at any given moment. Kyle Kuzma's playing a lot better.
He's getting traded this year.
No, he just signed an extension.
Yeah, that don't matter.
$40 million, 3 years, which I thought that we would trade him and get, another shooter. But,
hey, what have you learned? Nobody's untradeable. With the LeBron James team.
Yeah, LeBron's teams, and the trade deadline has been extended to, what, March?
Kevin Love, I'm booking it. He may be a Laker.
Hey, I really want Pau Gasol back, man. That's
Heck,
who I want.
What? He's 40 years old, man.
Hey, man,
he can't
he's
even
just
run down the court.
To do just
Kevin
what?
Love, he's sitting over there by himself in Cleveland, the poor guy.
Well, he's with JaVale now. We sent him JaVale McGee.
He's by himself in Cleveland. I want Kevin Love in Oklahoma City with Westbrook so bad.
That would be That would have been nice.
I miss Westbrook. That's right. Got SGA, though. SGA is nice. We got Lu Dort, yeah. The Harden lockdown. Oh, man. Good times. All right. To move on to more important and more serious matters, okay? Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Set the mood. Some joy to the world kind of hip music here. Top five Christmas songs. I didn't pick the bottom five Christmas songs. Oops. Let's just do top five Christmas songs. Danny, what you got?
Man, number five is beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Michael Bublé.
Oh.
Like that one, man. Every year I hear it, I love it. That's my number five. Number four, Santa Claus is Coming to Town, Jackson 5 style, though.
Yeah.
Little Michael got to have it.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, before he found out he was a weirdo.
Right. Right.
Sorry.
Number three, Let It Snow by Boyz II Men.
Oh.
Love it to death.
Boyz II Men.
Yep. Number two, the one that most people want to throw their radios out of their cars or anything like that. All I Want for Christmas, Mariah Carey. It's the number one on everyone else. I could make it my number one because I'm like, hey. Mm. But it gets you in the mood. I don't know why,
no,
dude.
Not me.
I don't know why. I mean, I can hear it at least once or twice, and it's usually after Thanksgiving. And the closer I get to Christmas, the more I start to like not want to listen to it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah. And my number one all time, Silent Night by The Temptations.
Oh, yeah.
Love it to death.
That's good.
All I have to hear is In My Mind, and I'm there.
Too bad your list was completely wrong.
Whatever you say,
I'm just kidding.
Whatever you say.
My top five, I have Happy Xmas by John Lennon.
Hmm.
Then I have The Christmas Song by Nat King Cole.
Oh, okay.
Jingle Bell Rock, any version. Let It Snow. There's a lot. Ben Rector has a good one. Excuse me. But I like the classic, Let It Snow.
Yeah.
And then my number one is White Christmas.
Not bad.
You know, I just, Let It Snow by Dean Martin. And then, the Nat King Cole Christmas song is really good. But my honorable mention, I played this for Danny, is Christmas Shoes.
I actually like it.
It's a classic. If you haven't listened to it, I encourage you to go listen to the song Christmas Shoes. All right, so for real now, we're about 28 minutes in, and we're going to finish this podcast with a video cast or vlog, whatever you want to call it. I'm watching us on YouTube. Or listen to us on Spotify, iTunes, or wherever you get your podcast. Is how does the Christmas season, how's Advent give us hope, peace, love, and joy? Danny, how does Christmas season point us to those things?
Christmas, love, and joy?
Like hope, peace, love, and joy.
Hope, peace, love, and joy. I was sharing this with the kids yesterday morning, actually. A couple of things on how that points towards it. Man, look here. When you have someone, as Pastor Rick has been talking about the past couple of Sundays as far as the gifts of Christmas, someone that is born to die sounds very, 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 very dark. But we have so much hope in that because of the simple fact that we don't have to wake up every day hoping for a savior. We don't have to wake up every morning hoping that things will turn around. We know that they are. Okay, so during this season, it's very hard sometimes for us to keep our focus on that because of the things that's going on around us, like, you know, an Amber Alert going off and scaring everyone the other day with four kids.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to worry about if things are going to turn around. They are. Now, do we know when? No man knows that. But to know that we have a Savior that has already came, he did what he was supposed to do, and he died. That gives us a great hope during this time of year that most people take their eyes off of because of their situation.
Right. Yeah. No, yeah, we get to look towards the future. Because of the past and because of what is, you know, the death of one.
Right.
Brings life to the many. Just like it says, for the sin of one man condemned all, but for the death of another man was salvation for all. I was reading like in Colossians 1. I can get my old Bible out here. Colossians 1. I should have had it marked already. This is how you know it's real. And I'm not going to go back and edit this. I'm just going to keep it real. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, the love that you had for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. Of this you have heard before in the word of the truth, the gospel, which has come to you, as indeed in the whole world it is bearing fruit and increasing, as it always does among you, since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth. Just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant, he is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf and has made known to us your love in the Spirit. And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully and pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. May you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy. Give me thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, for by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. And you who were once alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he is now reconciled in his body of the flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. If indeed you continue in faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which is proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister. And I think Paul sums it up well in Colossians 1 when he's talking to the church. Like, listen, here's the work of Jesus. Like, he was above, before, and the author of all things, and it's by him that you will be redeemed. This babe, like, he was born as a man, but he existed before he was born. And he's the one that is bringing you to the kingdom. He's the one that's bringing you out of the darkness. And so while we are here in this darkness, as we are here in this earth, this old earth, this old place, man, if we are in Christ, if we have followed him and trusted him, we have this hope that, well, we're part of the new kingdom. Mm-hmm. We've been transferred. And so we have this glimmer. We have, like, that's why we light the candles on Advent. We have hope. We light that candle. We have peace because of the redemption we have. We have love because we've experienced love. And we have joy in the sense that we know that he is coming back. Mm-hmm. And everything under heaven, when the lights just went out, you can't see Danny.
Right. The lights just went out.
That's funny. disappeared. Talk about light, right? In the sense of he's coming back for us. We have joy and we get to look forward to those things. And so Christmas and Advent point us to those things through his birth. That heaven ripped open and Christ came down, and then and he fulfilled what he's going to do. And so when we are struggling during this time, and this is a Christmas season for many of us that we've never really experienced before, and so we need to remember the source of our joy, the source of love, the source of peace, the source of hope, and constantly working on renewing our minds and our hearts to that. It's a practice, and so we need to ask ourselves and reflect, how are my Christmas or Advent habits pointing to Jesus? And if they're not, how can they? And that's something like I struggle with a lot is everything I do, every action I take pointing to Jesus? And the answer is a loud no. Like, it's a definite no. And I was thinking about this the other day with my mask on in the store. And, man, it's just so easy for me not to say anything. Like, I'm in the store. I want in and out. And that's not who God created me to be. And I'm working on that. And so I'm not looking like Jesus when I'm being quiet. I'm looking like the crowd before Pilate, like the believer. I'm looking like Peter. No, I don't know this man.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know him. And I've denied him way more than 3 times. And so the Christmas season, Advent, should remind us of what he did to come, and what he did when he died, what he's promised in his return. And so, guys, we're praying for you this season. Yeah. We hope to encourage you and pray for us, as you know, we are mere human and men and broken and fallen as well. But, man, we miss you. We're excited to see you guys again soon. Get ready for another podcast to come post-Christmas. But until then, we will see you later.